Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for April 9th, 2008. May I have a roll call, please, Tina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Buckow.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute. Ready to salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda tonight. And if you would like to speak to an item that is on the agenda, I would request that you please wait until that item comes on in the regular course. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Bill Senna, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, your staff. I'm Bill Senna, live in Oceano. I'm coming to you tonight to ask that maybe before long you can make a decision on Basin Street, where I live, and Mr. Zakur. We have had a street light at the end on the west arc in that area. And we're all concerned a little bit for the safety of the area. But since we did lose the street light, we would like to see if you could replace it as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll
thank you.
Consider that in our next budget. Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette Padilla, Oceano. My question is, I have the other day, I talked to Mr. Bill Buckout, and I asked him that if he knew why on Monday, that Monday was closed. I don't remember exactly what day was it. And it was closed, saying what he referred to him says, why you don't go to the meeting and ask why it was closed? Well, I did call, I talked to Patrick, and I asked why that Monday was closed. When we all work, the schools were open. Everybody were working. Why here was closed that day? We always saying that there is no money, but we have money to spend on having a holiday that was not legal holiday. And the answer from Patrick was that the board is the one that made that decision. And that's my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. To briefly respond to that, The board some time ago, several years ago actually, by establishing the personnel policy for the district, has one of the various holidays that the district observed is identified as any day that is proclaimed as a holiday by the governor of the state of California or the president of the United States. And since Cesar Chavez Day was declared to be a holiday by the governor, it is one that the board, through setting that policy, did approve for the district to observe. I understand that there were some people that came to try to pay bills or something there or conduct business at the district office, and I would hope that we would in the future, you know, put up a notice so that people would understand that the office would be closed on the holiday to make it more convenient for the residences, but it was a holiday that was approved by the board. So,
I do agree with you. And
honestly, I haven't counted them. I could do that, but I'm not certain.
It's right in there. There are 11 when you count the two half days. But now with Cesar Chavez, I believe that makes 12.
Right.
What about admissions day? Is that going to become a holiday also?
You know, if it's a state holiday, then it would be a holiday. Is that a declared holiday by the governor?
Thank you.
Okay. One other
Quick little question here.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Quick, if you had worked everybody that day and called them in what the policy said was a holiday, then we would have had to pay double time, or would have actually...
We would have had to pay overtime. I'd have to check and see whether it would be time and a half or double time. Right.
So would it cost the district actually more money?
Right.
Okay, is there any other public comment at this time? We have this evening Commander Brian Haskell from the Sheriff's South Station. Commander, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. Just a couple of items to bring up this evening. We had a breakthrough on our burglary case that we've had going up on the Mesa. We've identified 20 burglaries that have occurred in the last 2 months involving forced entry to residences. Today we managed to recover a substantial part of the property that was stolen in those burglaries, and we have an arrest that is imminent in this case. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Hopefully we'll put an end to this quickly. There are a couple of other things. There's a scam that just started going around now. It always seems like somebody's willing to come up with a new type of scam to try to further identity theft is what's going on with this one. if anybody receives a call from an individual saying that they're calling from the local courthouse and telling the person that they missed their jury duty summons and date to show up, and you never received that jury duty summons, it's a scam. Apparently we've got somebody calling, and this is going on in a number of states throughout the United States right now. They'll call and say you have a warrant out for your arrest because you failed to show for jury duty, and they'll tell you if you just give them your driver's license. Discussing the foreclosure issue that's going on throughout the United States right now. And what we're asking is the neighbors of residences that have been foreclosed on that are vacant to please keep a watch out for anybody, any activity that's going on at those residences that doesn't appear to be proper or correct. Two of the things that are going on are that kids are using the vacant houses as party and crash pads, and we're not finding out until somebody from the real estate company goes in and locates all this damage that's been done inside. The other issue, and this is kind of an interesting one, is that we have people going in and ripping all of the copper wire and other metal fixtures out of the houses to be resold as scrap because copper is currently valued so highly. And it's a few thousand dollars damage, but it's creating this huge cost for the actual owners of the residence at that point to redo the, you know, fix the damage. So anybody that sees anything suspicious, please call our station. I'll get deputies out there and we'll try to deal with it right away. That's all I've got if anybody has any questions.
Okay, comment or questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, item number four is board member items for discussion. Start with Vern Dahl.
I have nothing.
Barbara?
Yesterday, Board of Supervisors Chair Patterson stated an update on the dunes would be on the agenda for next Tuesday. Anyone that's interested might want to attend. That's all.
Thank you. Pamela?
Yes, I wanted to kind of give a little promotion to Caltrans. We had a workers' memorial today for the people that have worked on the highway and have been killed working on the highway. We have 170 and six from this district. What you're going to see a lot in the next two or three years is there's going to be a lot of construction going on. We're using our CMI bond money for construction within this district, and we'll probably have 50 construction sites. So please slow for the cone zone. Drive safe. than police and firefighters combined. So it's a very dangerous job our people are doing out there. We're trying to make every effort to be safe, and we're counting on the traveling public to help us out, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to comment on what Barbara Mann talked about with the Oceana Dunes. The meeting's on April 15th. I received a email from the Pismo Beach Chamber today, and they're looking at possibly a two-year lease, extending a two-year lease with the dunes. And what they state in this email was, the Oceana Dunes SVRA generates a great deal of revenue to many businesses here in the South San Luis Obispo County. Hundreds of thousands of people visit our area every year to recreate at the park. Many of our local businesses depend on these tourist dollars coming into their establishments: gas, dining, lodging, retail. Additionally, the businesses that operate with concessionaire contracts through the state parks at the Oceana Dunes creates jobs that would be lost immediately should the use of the dunes be closed or restricted to camping and off-highway vehicle use. Our area here is very unique. We have beautiful sand dunes, and right now they're enjoyed by all walks of life. It's immense how many people use these dunes for ATV riding and are able to see the dunes that would not be able to normally get there. It's an important meeting, and I encourage anyone that possibly could attend it to be present.
Thanks, Bill. Am I correct again that our spring cleanup is coming up right around the corner?
I didn't
21st to the 25th.
That's right. Yeah.
That's it. Pamela has the sign already made up. Thank you. It's April 21st to 25th. South County Sanitary will be helping with that. To get more information or schedule a pickup for larger items, their number is 489-4246. So, thank you, Pamela. Mm-hmm. Okay, item number 5 is review and approval of the minutes of March 26th. Is there any comment or questions on the minutes?
Item 13, consideration of warrants. Director Bookout recused himself and left the room. I believe I stayed. That was just warrants. I went outside for the
flooding.
And Alex Seamus's contract, I believe it was.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Any other comment or questions?
Yeah, I'd like to note that thank you for putting these back to back and saving a little bit of paper and trees and money.
That was one of our new staff members that recommended
good.
It.
Thank you. That was a good idea. Tell them thank you.
Okay.
Comment or questions from the public on the minutes? Hearing none. We have a motion to approve.
I move that we approve the minutes, striking the words "and left the room" on item number 13.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of March 26th as corrected. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 6, Spire Items, 6A, the weed abatement program. We're considering a recommendation of the general manager to approve weed abatement program for the current fire season. Patrick?
Administrative Assistant Davis is going to brief this item.
Gina.
I have a little one. The district is empowered to provide fire protection services according to state government code section 6123.5 and California State Health and Safety Code section 14880. The fire department has determined that uncontrolled growth of weeds on properties within the district represent fire hazards. The best method of addressing this is to send a notice out to every property owner within the district. This is prescribed and done in accordance with the Health and Safety Code Section 14892. As an alternative to posting the lots, which we used to do with stakes and big signs that would get ripped off or faded, and the property owners never would say they didn't get it if they were absentee owners, we began doing a postcard that goes to every property owner. This way it ensures that it's gotten to the owner, not just the tenants. We also, of course, notify by putting it in the newspaper, PSAs, as well as legal notices. We'd like to recommend that we again do this by the postcard method this year. Property owners will then have until June 11th, on which time we have the protest hearing, to come and complain if they think they should not have their property abated, and it also gives them up till that date to do the abatement themselves. After such time as that, then we have a contractor who will go out and abate the list that is provided by the fire department. The attached resolution declares that weeds growing upon properties within the district and incorporated herein by reference is a public nuisance which may need abatement of the weed infestation. The recommended action is to approve the hazard reduction calendar, and you have probably noticed that at the request of the fire department on June 23rd, we have added that that's the date the contractor is supposed to turn in his bills for all the lots that were abated, that no payment will be issued until all the lots are approved by the fire department for payment. It's also recommended that by discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote to adopt OCSD Resolution 2008-6, a resolution declaring weeds on certain properties to be a public nuisance, and schedule a public hearing for protests on June 11 at 6:30 p.m. in the OCSD boardroom, and to direct staff to commence with the mailing of the notices.
Okay, so some of the key dates there are April 10th. We would put a notice in the Times Press Recorder, and on the 10th, and the notices would be mailed to all property owners. People would have until June 11th to clear the weeds or to come and protest the assignment at that time at the regular meeting on June 11th. And then on the 23rd, the contractor would commence clearing the weeds.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Can we get that into the newspaper by April 10th? Today's the 9th.
That's the day that we send it to the newspaper. Okay. It may not make it in Friday's, but it would be in next week's.
Okay. Is this going to be the same basic postcard that was sent out last year?
That's correct, just with the dates updated.
So everyone knows that everybody receives that postcard.
Right.
Yeah. I know in the past it's always been an issue for me that people that, you know, they receive the postcard and receive the notice, and it's a postcard to everybody, that the actual people that get their properties abated, do they know other than this postcard that those properties are going to be abated?
This is the only direct notification to the property owner. The PSA is printed once a month in the TPR. But there's not another notification. One thing that you might consider is having staff put it on the water bills, because people who have tenants, that way the tenants would also be notified if they receive a water bill.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good idea to put it on the water bills. And did we make some changes in the wording on the postcard last year? Something about, and I can't remember now. Something in the wording that was
very legalese or something, as I remember. And I thought we changed to make sure that they understood that it went to everyone.
Yes.
Because
people were thinking that their properties were being abated, even though
they were landscape properties and something like that. So I thought we were going to make some change to the postcard this year, and that maybe we should look at. That would be the only other thing I would have a question on.
Any other comment or questions on the staff report? Public comment on this item?
Hello, my name is Maria Chavez and I live here at Rosciano. My only concern is about the alleys. Who takes care of that? Who's, that's one of my major concern. Who works on the alleys, who takes care of it, who pays for that, who...
Fire Captain Bova can correct me if I'm wrong, but each property owner owns the property to the middle of the alley.
Okay.
So if there's a problem with an alley, it's the property owner adjacent to that alley.
Okay. So they will be receiving a letter to mention it,
to
they
that address.
Need to take care
That's
of the
correct.
Alley?
That's correct.
Yeah? Okay. I mean, I don't live near one, but anyways, right. I seen them and, you know, they're not well taken care of.
Some of them are not. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The alleys are an easement on the properties that are backed up to the alley. So the person owns to the center of the alley and to the perimeter, the two sides of the property. So they are responsible for it.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Any other public comment on this item? Okay. Hearing none.
I move that we back to
yes.
I move that we approve the hazard reduction calendar, and by board, we've had the discussion with the adopt OCSD resolution 2008-06, a resolution declaring weeds on certain properties to be a public nuisance, and schedule a public hearing for protest on June 11, 2008, at 6:30 p.m. in the OCSD boardroom, and direct staff to commence with the mailing of notices.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the staff report and approve resolution 2008-06. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 6B is the fireworks program. Consideration of general manager's recommendation to approve the fireworks program for 2008.
Mr. President, members of the board of directors regulate the fees and conditions for the granting of permits for the sale of safe and sane fireworks within the boundaries of the district. In the past, it has been past practice to limit the number of participants to between 4 and 6. During the 2007 fireworks program, the following 5 organizations were authorized to participate: Squad 745 of the California Highway Patrol, Five Cities Area Number 4153 FOE, I think that's the Elks Club, Oceano Firefighters Association, Eagles Ladies Auxiliary, and the Church of God Prophecy. For the 2008 program, other local organizations, including the Kiwanis Club and a local youth athletic organization, have requested to participate. It has also been past practice, to encourage participants to utilize some of the proceeds from the sale of fireworks to benefit the Oceano community. Staff recommends that organizations wishing to participate provide a statement concerning how their proceeds will be used to benefit the Oceano community so the board can decide which organization should receive priority when authorizing permits. In prior years, the board of directors elected to charge each participant a $385 fee. Staff recommends increasing that fee to $400 due to the increased cost of implementing the program. So the recommended action before the board is direct staff to provide an application form to any organization indicating their interest to participate in the Safe and Sane Fireworks for 2008 with a return date of no later than April the 30th, 2008. To recommend that the organizations that are providing the support provide a space on the application for each organization to stipulate how they would support the community, and to increase the fee to $400. This was discussed at the Fire Committee.
Comment or questions from the board on the staff report?
I'll abstain on this one, but I'm not moving.
Okay.
Yeah, we have additional people wanting to sell fireworks this year.
Yes, we do.
What, two or three additional organizations? With
two that I'm aware of, yeah.
I have a problem with us necessarily deciding who's going to be participating based on their use of it. I think, you know, their use of the funds within Oceano. I think that that we might be better off if we went to a more of a lottery type system, because we've got quasi government agencies, you know, participating in it. One agency participating in it is our own fire department personnel, and to try to come up here and unbiasedly choose who's going to be able to sell fireworks isn't very good. I think we're opening ourselves up to criticism on not being fair and unbiased on this. I think that maybe we might be better off to either open it up for anybody that, you know, we have two additional ones, let them sell as well, or to do some kind of a lottery system, and then whoever loses is able is automatically in for the next year. And then as far as if we're going to look at the, you know, I agree with it, with the use of the funds being required to be used in Oceano here, but I think it should be more of something that we look at and make sure that happens, as opposed to actually us sitting up here and determining who has priority based on it. I think it'll be a lot fairer that way.
Well, I had a question for Vern. Are you thinking that we screen them to see that they all comply first, and then put them in a lottery system, and restrict the number to five, or that they all be allowed to?
Either way is fine with me. What I'm not comfortable with is us sitting down here and saying, well, I think you're using the funds better than this organization is, so we're going to choose this organization over that organization. And when you have that scenario, it's just going to leave us open for criticism. It's a judgment call, and that's not fair, especially since you've got some organizations that are on there that are, you know, you've got the CHP and you've got our firefighters. And then you've got private organizations, and it's just leaves us open for too much criticism if we go that way. I don't think that, you know, there's going to be a natural tendency to want to favor the fire department, just as a local group in a lot of ways. And I think that going to a lottery system will make it a lot fairer for everybody. And then the people that lose on the lottery automatically in the next year, and or otherwise open it up and to let two more people sell this year.
So we generally just let three people in.
No, it's varied. Actually, the most when I was looking at the history, it was eight that I could see.
Yeah.
At one point in time, they allowed eight people, and there have been years when there were only two or three. They were actually trying to drum up business and get more people to apply. Right. So
yeah. It's possible that even though we have this many, some may drop out, you know.
Yeah.
Still.
Sure. I have one concern in that one of the applicants last year had a number of violations at their stand that was required response from the fire department to make sure that the stand was operated in a safe manner, and I would be concerned with assuring that the stands are always operated safely with fire safety and personnel safety. It's the highest priority. So I would hope that we would be able to perhaps use a screening criteria that related to
Would you like John to talk more about the specifics of what happened last year? Captain Bova, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if Captain Bova could perhaps comment on that, would be good.
What do you need to know?
I understand that one of the fireworks applicants last year was actually lighting fireworks in the store. I personally saw them light them within a couple of feet of the stand.
There were a number of several violations, and I'm going to get into specifics. They were serious. Several serious violations with this one particular booth required more than one response by the fire department. Leads us to be concerned about the safety of that agency or that group doing it. That's just one aspect of it to be concerned about. There has been others in the past, but last year it was just this one group.
You know, perhaps we could say something like they would not be issued a permit this year because, you know, if there are violations during the year, they won't be issued a permit the following year, and we can make it retroactive if that were the pleasure of the board, I think.
Yeah, there might be some concern with a retroactive punitive action, but I would hope that we would adopt that policy going forward, that if we have a number of violations, that someone would lose the privilege. So, Vern, you would propose to alter the way that the fireworks program was administered to institute a lottery among the...
You know, I'm really not... I really don't care one way or the other whether we go to a lottery system or whether we just open it up for another couple people to sell so that everybody that wants to sell gets the opportunity to sell. I mean, that's probably more, free trade, open market type scenario than a lottery would be, but I really don't care one way or the other, but I don't think that, I just don't want it to go forward the way it is.
Well, it seems to me it's probably good to limit the number, because it certainly has in the past required additional response from the fire department to maintain public safety, so it seems to me that there's probably a valid reason to limit it at some number.
Well, I could see that, and
we have. Gina just told me we've had another inquiry with probably two or three at least other vendors who are interested. So there may be as many as five more, which could bring a total to 10.
Okay, then in that case, you're probably better off to go ahead and limit it to a certain number, and then do the lottery system. And then whoever doesn't get in on the lottery would be automatically in the next year, so that it's fair all the way around. Instead of a new lottery every year, it's just the lottery would be to fill in the vacant spots at that point from the people that are left.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, that would open it up to drawing straws for them?
Yeah, draw straws, roll dice, I don't care.
Okay.
Some way, some way to figure it out. Let's see, fair.
Would you limit it to organizations from Oceano?
Yeah, same limitations that we have now. Limitations to, organizations from Oceano and the funds being oriented toward benefiting Oceano. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other discussion, comment? Is there public comment on this item?
Yes.
Antonia.
Animal, not Oceano. Okay, I don't like the lottery. Sorry, but I don't. Because what happens if we come with an agency that provides, does this, like my church is the Church of Prophecy, okay? And with the funds that we get from this, we send 10 to 15 kids for a whole week out of Oceano to another area. This is how we get our funding to send some of our youth out of here a month. What if they don't qualify because they didn't get to go? Okay, all these children are just going to stay behind. Okay, if somebody broke the rules, those are the ones that should be disqualified. I'm pretty sure the fire department has their name. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Dave Angelo.
Hi, I'm Dave Angelo. Served many years on the board, and I'm not sure that the history was presented properly. A couple years ago when I was here and for years past, what we did is we allowed five different organizations to participate in the fireworks program. And we limited it to the five that we happened to have at that time, whatever it was, 10 years ago or whatever it was. And if a group dropped out, which we did have groups, drop out, then they would hold like a lottery or a selection to let another group come in, but they would hold it to five. But once you were in, you were in like a liquor license or what have you. You got to keep that as long as you continued each year. And there's a lot of effort goes into selling fireworks. I did it 20 years ago for the youth football, and I've been involved with the different organizations that's had it, the Depot Association and fire department. I remember back when it was a volunteer fire department. I mean, totally before the district was formed, they used to sell fireworks, and it was a big fundraiser for them. And it's a lot of work, and it does take a lot of preparation. And these five people that have already done it know what they're in for. And so I think, you do need to limit it for a couple reasons. Number one, there's only so many corners. And then number two, when you get saturated, nobody makes any money. So that was kind of the thinking behind limiting it to five. And then, in fact, I think at one time it dropped to four, and we were going to hold it there. And then a church, and I think it was Mrs. Maldonado's church, wanted the opportunity, so we opened that up. But I don't think there's ever been any more than five. And I think maybe it was presented that maybe there was eight or something. No, I don't think that's right. I could be stand to be corrected, but I don't think so.
Thank you. Bill Senna.
Bill Senna, I don't mean to disrupt Dave, but I think, Dave, the time that everybody quit, except Oceana, was the only place that sold fireworks, when Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach and Pismo, we had people coming here asking us not to allow it. I think that was the time that we had the most, because they couldn't sell them on Grand Avenue. But at that time, we had a lot. But I kind of agree with Dave. One of the concerns I would have, I think you ought to try to find a way, if you go to this lottery thing, to really favor the real hometown guys, like the fire department. Of course, I remember Harold always had the fire booth for the depot. That was fun. But if somehow you could find the ones. But if you've got somebody that's got a lot of violations, I would sure as heck eliminate them. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
My name is Tom Whalen. I'm here representing three different youth sports organizations. They asked me to come here. I really like Mr. Dahl's proposition that we kind of, the Oceano goes to kind of an Arroyo Grande model, where it's every other year. You get it 1 year, and then it's not necessarily a lottery, but you can't have it that second year. Because for organizations where we benefit the youth in our area, it's a real windfall. One fireworks booth, even on an off year, can fund you quite a long ways. But I am concerned with what some of the groups are doing with it. I have been affiliated, or I've heard of one of the youth groups. They kind of used it as almost a slush fund. They paid for a trip to Hawaii for just the select group of parents that were working the booth in Arroyo Grande. What I propose is earmark it towards scholarship money, because there's a lot of kids, especially in Oceano, where that is a big gatekeeper. They're not participating in even the cheapest of sports. And I work with a lot of kids from the high school. I'm a high school teacher, and especially with our youth in Oceano, for some of them, it's really just participating and being part of a team. It's a real lifesaver for them. And I think if we could earmark some of these funds and just stipulate that it's used for registration fees for the youth organizations, I think that would be extremely helpful. And every other year, just one fireworks booth per organization, for thousands of dollars, that could pay for a lot of families. I really think that, as far as the youth organizations are concerned, we really need to do something about that. But I am in favor of limiting the amount. I think 10 fireworks booths in Oceano would really be too many. But they're representing a few different groups, and if you could open up to any of them, that'd be fantastic. I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
First-time person. My name is Michael Edigue. I pastor a church here in Oceano, the Well Four Square Church, and I would agree with Board Member Dahl in the lottery decision. I believe Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have switched to that method. It allows other organizations to come in, and it alternates them year by year. If you got it this year, you don't have it next year, and then they bring in the next lot. We are also one that has inquired, along with Phantom Fireworks, to possibly sell fireworks in Oceano. So I guess I'm here to say we are one of those persons, and we also would like, or would favor, the lottery position, if you would move forward on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Further board comment or discussion?
Yeah, what's been said with public comment, taking all of it into consideration, I think what we need to look at here is, we've got several more organizations this year inquiring that we haven't had in the past, so we have a new a new scenario, in a sense, and. We have, I remember that is true what Dave was saying, that we have had it set up to where it's always been, once you were in, you were in. And then when that organization dropped out, as organizations have dropped out, they've gone down to three, then another organization is pulled in to go into that position. And what we need to look at or decide among ourselves is, do we continue with that scenario of once you're in, you're in, or do we go to a way that, each year we give new organizations the opportunity with this type of a system, with the lottery system. And I'm not attached either way. One way or another. The thing that I'm not interested in seeing is us come down here and try to evaluate who's spending their money in a better way.
One thing that concerns me is that the organizations that have had fireworks stands here for a number of years have come to count on that revenue, I think, in their budgeting and their projections and so forth. And I think it would probably be detrimental to them to, at this relatively late date, tell them that we're going to change the rule that they may have counted on for a major portion of their revenue. So while I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea of a lottery, it might be, if we were going to consider doing that, that we try to do that next year, such that the charitable organizations that have pretty much committed to the idea of fundraising through the fireworks stands would be able to do that this year, and then they would be then on notice that starting next year we would have a different policy.
Can I make a suggestion? Just an idea. As we go along in the years past, as people drop out or different groups drop out and don't renew their permit, that position would be open up to the lottery until they've all rotated. Eventually that's going to happen. It may take a few years. If someone drops out and doesn't apply, that position becomes a lottery position and kind of institute it that way. That's just a thought.
Yeah, it could be done that if you want to maintain that tradition, if that's what the board wants to do, maintain that tradition of whoever's in is in, then you could do it that way as a lottery for the new organizations, or you could just pick the organization that has applied the most consecutive years up to that point in the, either way. But what we kind of need to decide is what's the fairest way to go. And if an organization is spending a lot of energy and time and, setting this stuff up and preparing for it way ahead of time, there's something to be said for it. Once you're in, you're in. Or is it, every year it's a new slate and you start and just do a lottery? We have to determine what's fair on that.
Thoughts, comments?
Well, I hate to see our groups that have been working year after year and counting on that money being just rolled over to a lottery system. And I like Captain Bova's idea that we institute it gradually and then it does not usurp the people that have been working this for years and counting on that money to do their particular work. I'd like limiting it to 5, and I would like to see that we allow our old standbys to stay in there and maybe institute the lottery for the other two positions. I don't want to see too many fireworks booths in Oceano. We've got a surfeit, it seems to me, of fireworks booths. And I think we should also say that if there are any problems with the booth, that the following year they would not be coming back here. We don't need to send our people out there to police their booths. We don't need to spend the money to do that. So that would be my idea. And thank Captain Bova for coming up with some good ideas there.
So are we going to have to sit down and define what a problem is that is a valid enough problem to dismiss that group from in the future, and what isn't? If somebody calls in on something and they show up and nothing happens, is that legitimate? Is that a good enough, nothing's there? Or if they...
One could be a valid reportable fire code violation because they have a clear description of what they are not to do. And if it's a clear fire code violation, that would be one reason.
Okay, so we're going to sit down and determine that if that's the criteria
the other reason could be requiring amount of money to be returned to the community. I mean, I know you don't like to do that, but there are some groups that I don't think that contribute back very much, and there are some that contribute a lot. So I don't know if that would be one consideration.
Yeah, and see, that's the next thing we're going to have to do then, is just determine what the criteria is for dismissal then.
Don't you think the fire chief would be better at deciding what is dangerous as opposed to this board?
We can make that the fire chief's responsibility.
I think it was last year.
If Pamela, if you want, did you want to make a motion?
can I ask?
By the way, I concur with what Pamela said. Mm-hmm. I believe our sales were down overall for our fireworks last year. So limiting it to 5, it would be beneficial for the existing fireworks stands.
The sales were down very low for all the groups. I think it was because of 4th of July was in the middle of the week. Had a lot to do with it.
I just ask or recommend that the motion include the first paragraph that says we'll give applications to everybody. That way we'll know who wants to do it and get into the lottery system. That the second part of the paragraph say that it will be just be screened for funds used for the benefit of Oceano. If there's it be a Oceano organization and funds be used in the community so we can screen people out that don't do that. And then the filling the vacancy, using the existing organizations and filling vacancies through the lottery, just so we include all that stuff.
Okay.
A long motion, I know.
It's a long one. Yeah. Okay. So I move that we direct staff to provide an application form to any organization indicating their interest in participating in the Safe and Sane Fireworks for 2008 with a return date no later than April 30th, 2008. And I move further that we direct staff to include on the application a statement that priority consider... Okay, this is where I'm going to change it.
All right.
I move that we direct staff to to screen these organizations to stipulate how they will use the funds to support the community, and that staff will give priority to those organizations that have for the past years been in the fireworks sales for this community, and that the other that we limited to 5, that 3 be included for the past users, and that the additional 2 be determined by the lottery process for this year. I also move that there is an administration processing fee of $400 payable at such time as the application is filed with the district. Did I get everything in there?
I have one question. When you say there are going to be 3 organizations, and we need to specify which 3?
The ones that we had last year?
Well, there were actually 5 last year.
Oh, were there 5 last year?
Yeah.
And those, are there 2 dropping out now?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
There were 2 additional ones at the time of the staff report, I think.
We've gotten another 4 or 5 tonight.
Yeah.
So
okay.
As far as I know, none of these have dropped out, but we haven't asked people to apply yet either.
Okay. So
So the motion would be to
include,
recognize everybody that's been in the program, if somebody doesn't want to continue, then we replace that person with a lottery or that group.
Right. Okay. So if the 5 want to continue, then they're in.
Okay.
If someone drops out, it would be a lottery, and they would have to also stipulate how they will support the community with their funds.
Would you consider adding to the motion that the organization that had multiple fire code violations last year be excluded this year?
No, we don't want to go retroactive on this. I mean, you start with a clean slate, and if there's any violations for next year,
they should be
this year, go for next year.
Yeah, they should be pretty aware of what their violations are, and I'm sure they've corrected.
I should include in the motion that if there are violations, valid reportable fire code violations as determined by the fire chief, that they will be excluded from the sale for next year.
Okay.
Do we get it all? I think so.
A long motion. Well done.
Someone please second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to proceed with the motion as described by Director Dean. You may have a roll call, please, Gina.
That was Vice President Bookout.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Abstain.
President Hill?
Yes. That passes by 4-0 with one abstention. Item number 6C is the Fire Oversight Committee, consideration of appointing a representative and alternate to the Fire Oversight Committee, which is comprised of Representative from Oceano Community Services District, the City of Rio Grande, and the City of Grover Beach. I would, since these meetings are held on Friday afternoons from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock typically, and I believe they're bi-monthly.
Right.
The first I would ask would be Vice President Bookout, if you would be willing to serve on that, because currently I believe you have no committee assignments that are active.
I could serve on this.
In that case, I would appoint, with the approval of the board, Vice President Bookout to be the primary representative on the committee. Is there another board member that would have the ability to attend the meetings that could serve as an alternate?
I'm not available. Yes. During that time.
I could do it.
Okay, in that case, I would appoint Director Mann as the alternate. And I would propose that those appointments be subject to board approval. Are there public comments on this item? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Vice President Bookout will be our primary representative, and Director Mann will be the backup. Item number 7 is utility items. This is cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is our continual disclosure of the emergency that the board declared following the San Simeon earthquake. I think that the directors are well familiar with this item. Is there any comment or questions from the public? Hearing none. Do we have a motion to continue?
I move that we continue the emergency cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we continue the declaration of emergency after the San Simeon earthquake. We have a roll call, please, Gina.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes. Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 8, administrative items. The first is 8A, rules of order. Consider a recommendation of Director Bookout, Vice President Bookout, to amend the district rules of order. Bill, would you like to present the item?
Yeah. At the March 12th meeting, I regret voting yes on the change of the election of officers. After giving much thought, I feel this was a mistake and doesn't help our community. If an elected OCSD director demonstrates the ability, applies the ethical codes and values the community needs, then why shouldn't they be elected democratically? We have no term limits with regard to election to the board. Is this a forced term limit of our officers? Sounds like we could be setting ourselves up for failure. For example, any special interest group can wait their term. So here are the current rules of order as I see it from the March 12th vote. The only officers of the board are the president and vice president, with one term allowed per 4-year period. The rotation goes to the most senior director that has never been an officer, subject to presence at the meeting and acceptance. My understanding is the end of the four-year term ends the rotation eligibility for that director. Election and re-election of the board starts or restarts the time clock for rotation, making all newly elected board members equal in seniority, so at some point we will be drawing straws, and this is not a democratic process, nor is this good for our community. For example, at the end of the 2008, the directors with seniority would be Barbara Mann and Pamela Dean, equally, as they were both elected in 2006. The newly elected board members would be able to rotate into officer after the seniors have served their term. I feel we need to stay with what we know, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's keep our election of officers working for us as it always has in the past. I would like to make a motion to change the district rules of order to revise the process for selecting the president and vice president back to an election by the board annually, and to add an addition of paragraph 1.5, which states that changes to the officers can be made after being agendized for a regular meeting. I would like to change the wording of this proposal to not include a special meeting. That's it.
Discussion?
Alex, what do you think of this?
You do have a very odd situation where the board voted 5-0 a month or so ago, and it makes you look. I don't want to use the word silly, but you know that word does come to mind. Reversing gears at this point, boards do sometimes elect their officers. Boards sometimes have rotation schemes. Both ways are acceptable. Boards use both of them. I think the only thing that I really sort of have a policy, a very direct policy objection to, is the idea of removing somebody midterm, short of misfeasance in office, removing somebody midterm, because the elections are only for a year. And if somebody has been elected by the other members of the board, they should be allowed to serve for a year. All that said, in looking at this and thinking about it over the last week or so since this issue came up, one issue did come to mind to me that could present a problem for the board in the way the elections are handled under the recently adopted rule. And that would be the situation where everybody on the board has already served as the president at least once. Well, I'm not saying that's true now, but if that situation were to arise somewhere down the line where everybody on the board had served at least once, and there was somebody who had just been elected that November to the board, the way this reads, that person who had just been elected to the board would have to be the president. And I don't think it's good policy to have someone who was just elected a month before now sit as the president of the board. But other than that, I think the policy that you've established here works.
Didn't we have it where the vice president moved up automatically?
Well, it says the president shall be the most senior board member who has not previously served as the board's president. So 1 year, and the vice president shall be the next most senior person. So 1 year you could be in that position, you could have them all lined up, but because somebody gets elected, they trump that. Yeah. Illegal about it. Yeah, and I did a fair amount of research on that.
It would seem to me to cause chaos a bit in that the way the proposal is written, that it appears that you could change officers just monthly or even more often than that, which I don't see that the instability would be a benefit there. I know that several of the cities rotate into the mayor or chairman position, and I am concerned that the board did just unanimously approve this policy where we would adopt a rotation. My concern with the rotation is twofold. It's A, it's fair, and B, I think it would tend to eliminate animosity or bad feelings that can arise from election of officers. And I think that it would serve the community better to have a rotation such that everyone gets a turn to do it. It would not favor special interests, as you say, because each interest, if there were more than one interest, would be represented annually for a period of time, and then someone else would get a chance to be represented. And I would hope that in this community has a history of some strident disagreements and fractionalizing and groups operating not in my view, at least, in the interest of all of the people in the community. And the only way this community is ever going to succeed and be a good place to live and work and to be a community is for us to eliminate as much as we can the animosities that we've seen here in the past. And I would hope that if nothing else comes from whatever legacy I have on this board, that I would hope that that we could go forward respecting all of us. Everyone's going to have different points of view on what the best interests of the community is, but I think if we recognize that everybody's legitimate interest is a legitimate interest and listen to it and respect that, way to do that. So look to make the modification that Alex has suggested to the rule that we adopted the other evening to fix the potential issue that you spotted there, and make that change and limit it to that.
Yeah, there is a motion, and I don't think there's been a second yet.
I had a few things I wanted to say, too.
Well, you probably should see if the motion obtains. I realize we went a little out of order, and that was perhaps my fault for jumping in a little too quickly. But there is a motion on the floor. You should see if there's a second. And if there is, then you further the discussion. If there's not a second, the motion dies for lack of a second, and then you can have further discussion to see if somebody wants to make some other motion.
I'm going to second the motion.
Okay, the motion's been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion?
Yeah. I was of the opinion when I voted on this and at the time that it happened that it wasn't a good idea either. And I just didn't think that it was going to be an issue or a problem, so I didn't. I just went along with what the rest of the board seemed to be wanting at the time, and I didn't have strong feelings one way or the other. And then looking at it, even before we now already have a problem with the way we went to. What I realized is what we have in effect done is we have determined for the next board, which only two people are here for. We have determined for that next board who their president is. And I don't think that is fair and right to take that decision away from the next board. I think that board in itself needs to make their decision who their next president is and let that board at that point in time when everybody is, or when the majority of the board still has their terms in front of them, to determine whether they're going to go to a rotation or not. and not for us here last minute to determine that and choose the president of the next board. And so with the longstanding tradition that we've always had of electing president, I think that that's really the way it should be and should stay. And
I had this conversation with Mr. Bill Bukout. He came to the store. We talked about, I mentioned that we were very, very happy about seeing that it was going to be an opportunity for some of you members to be the president. First of all, I want to say, Mr. Hill, my husband and I, and lots and lots of customers, we appreciate what you do. First, second, I mentioned to Mr. Bukout that I would like to see Barbara being the next president. Mr. Bukout said, impossible. There's no way that can happen. Okay, I understand that part. Whatever reasons he had. I feel myself that Barbara, she can do it. Of course, I would love to see Linda sitting in that board. I think she will stop a lot of stuff in here. There is some of the sitting over there on the board that, to me, I feel they don't deserve to be sitting over there. They don't care about Oceano. They care about, they are sitting over there for some, just to benefit them. That's it. But not because they really care about Oceano. They care for their own convenience. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette. Other public comment? David?
Dave Angelo, once again from Oceano. This motion kind of seems to be like a two-fold motion, and I think it would be better served if it was separated. There seems like there's one motion, or part of the motion talks about how you're going to make the president become president, and the second part of the motion has to do with removing a sitting president. And I think those should be separated, and they should be discussed separated and voted on separately. Personally, you know, the vote for the president, it's worked for 25 years. I don't see anything wrong with that. On the other hand, you know, there are people that might want to be president that haven't had their term. And I really, you know, like I said, I don't really have a strong opinion on that part of the motion. You know, either way, it works okay for me. The thing I have a problem with is removing a sitting president unless he's done something really, really bad. Maybe there should be some provision. Everybody that, you know, get mad at one person at one time or another. There's three past board members out here. Every one of them will agree with what I'm saying. I mean, it's something that happens. And you can't spend every meeting trying to figure out who's your next president's going to be. So that's what I have to offer.
Thank you, Dave. Are there public comments? Linda.
Linda Austin, Oceano. I had all kinds of things to say, but then I've got changed. But I agree with what Dave said. I don't think that it would be in the best interest to change the president like what every other meeting or whenever, you know, you get mad at somebody and you decide you want to change the president. I think you made a decision less than a month ago, voted to change to a rotation system. You know, I don't know what's changed now to, you know, want to go back the other way. I personally don't care if we vote for if the board votes the president or rotates, but I think what the problem is, you made a decision. And if we want to have confidence in your decision making, you know, it's kind of hard if you're always changing your mind. I think like this being on is not in the best interest of the community, especially the amendment about removing the president midstream. And I think we're wasting time that could be better spent on the issues that are really affecting our community, that you know, our finances, our water, and our legal fees that are mounting all the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there public comment? Bill.
This is well taken turn, too. I've been fortunate enough to sit on the board
there are people who choose not to be president, who don't want to be president, and I've seen that. Go back to your rules. Your rules. What's the president's really duties? The duties are to set the agenda, as I recall, hold order. It is kind of a popularity thing when someone gets together and votes for someone else. And yeah, there's been some times where things would get kind of tough. All of a sudden, you'd have to make the recommendation as to who's going to serve on a sanitation board. If you do make a decision, you might want to stick with a decision, at least try it for a year or two before you change every little bit. But I'm sure the district's in good hands. You just give me a damn street light. But anyhow, but I'm sure whatever decision you come up with will work well. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Antonio Maldonado, Oceano. And I was just thinking and seeing that all five of you, okay, we voted for two of you because for the better of the community. And all of a sudden, you disconnected again. Okay, you're disconnected. So it's better that you guys get connected and think of the community and not of our problems that we have among you. Those are personal, take care of them in the other way. We elected a president, you guys elected Mr. Hill. So let's continue until his turn comes up and then we elect another one, okay? All of you can get your turn if you wait. A divided house cannot stand. A community cannot stand with a divided community. We have to work together if we are to be a community. Otherwise, you know, you made the decision to be here. We didn't make it for you. We voted for you because we thought of your honesty and the better for our community. So I would like for you five to get together and talk your problems out. Like sometimes you have special little meetings. We'll have a special little meeting and sort out your problems. Don't bring them to the community. We don't need them. We have a lot of them. And let's start working for our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. One comment I would like to make to that is that the Brown Act specifically prohibits the five of us board members from talking about any community issue with more than one other board member. That's against state law under the Brown Act. And therefore, we can't, well, I would like to say, well, gee, we could all talk together and work everything out. We do that in the public meetings only. So just a clarification. Thank you very much. Is there other public comment on the side? Item number 8B is District Legal Counsel Retainer Agreement, Renewal and Codification of District Ordinances and Resolutions. Patrick?
Mr. President, I'm members of the board. At the last board meeting, we discussed doing two things, renewing the current district contract with district council and the contract with council, or not contract, so much, but authorizing them to do our codification project.
We were directed to come back, staff was directed to come back with a formal proposal. There's a proposed contract agreement attached. And I'll let our district council present the specifics.
This is something I believe I'll need to recuse myself on.
I believe you have in the past, yes.
And I will, again, and leave the room.
The current contract calls for 35 hours a month for the first 20 hours, which is effectively $175 per hour, with additional hours charged at $200 per hour. It provides the opportunity for the district to bank unused hours for up to 2 years. The rates that are set are a blended rate, meaning it applies regardless who in my firm actually does the work. When that current contract was put into effect in July of 2005, my regular hourly rate for private pay clients was $290 an hour, and associates were billed between $175 an hour, and actually there were a couple that were a little higher. And paralegals were approximately $125 an hour. During the almost three-year period that we've been in this agreement, the district has built up a bank credit of approximately 50 hours. It's actually come down a little bit. That was calculated as of the end of February. And for the first time, the district had some of those banked hours were going to expire this month. So I currently bill my private pay clients at $305 an hour, and most associates bill at $200 an hour, and we charge $135 an hour for most law clerks and paralegal. What I'm proposing is a contract that increases the monthly rate to $4,000 while leaving the district has been looking at undertaking for several months, can proceed, and we will likely use up most, if not all, of those banked hours in the codification project. The board will recall, the public may not know, that the district has been looking at trying to codify its ordinances and many resolutions, and obtained some proposals to do it at what were reasonable prices, except for the fact that the companies wanted an ongoing contract to do updates, and the pricing of the updates was difficult for the district to swallow. Given today's technology, we think that once we get over the initial codification, the annual updates will be something that will be relatively minor and could be handled either in-house by district staff or by my office at a relatively modest cost, certainly a lot less than it would cost to do through one of the codification companies. And should be able to provide something that can be posted to the internet and through other electronic means. One thing that's not specifically mentioned in the proposed agreement, but I know all of the board and staff knows, that over the last several months, my associate, Ryan Fothergill, who's here in the audience tonight, has provided some services to the district on a variety of matters. And the contemplation here is that his services, his participation in the services would increase somewhat. In particular, he'll be sitting in this chair at the next meeting because I'll be out of town for the next 3 weeks. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions.
Any comment or questions from the board?
What kind of time frame are we looking for on the codification?
In the proposal that I sent to the general manager, I'd asked to be able to defer it until June, only because I had this vacation coming up. But I had one staff member that was looking for some work, so I've gotten him started on it. I would hope to have something to you to take a first look at sometime in the middle to late June time frame. I think it's going to take us all summer to get it completed, but I think we will have made some pretty substantial progress by that time.
Other comment or questions?
I wanted to speak to that. One of our goals for last year's goal was codification of the ordinances. We cannot do our job properly. People in this community don't know how things work or what goes on or how anything happens. So and I've proved that. A lot of people have proved that.
I think the art in the codification process is, I have no doubt we'll probably find a few places where there's inconsistencies between some ordinances, mm-hmm. but there'll also be things where the law is just plain flat changed and the ordinances have not kept up with it, or there'll be other policy decisions that, you know, perhaps staff or my office will say, well, it's clear what the ordinance says, but there's a better way to do it. And we will probably come back to you two or three times at least seeking some guidance from you about how we should grapple with some of those policy issues.
Thank you. I'm glad that you're willing to take it on, because we really need the help.
I'm also glad that you're willing to take that on and use the bank hours to help pay for the cost on that. That's something that I think the entire board has been interested to see happen over the last few years, and probably experienced some frustration that we weren't able to bring it about as of yet. But I'm glad to see your office, and with Ryan's participation there, to help bring that about.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Oh, there is just one thing. There was one minor typo in paragraph 7A of the contract. There was a misreference to $4,100. The hundred,
right.
The hundred was an error. So that's been corrected in the execution draft that I've brought along this evening. That's what I get for typing my own work late at night.
I thought it was a clever plan.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what 4,100 is.
We don't either, but
yeah.
Public comment on this item. Hearing none, I'll come back to the board.
I move that we approve the agreement for the contracts with the CSD Attorney Services with Kirk and Seamus.
Second.
Okay, it's been okay, we'll come back to order, and we are at item number 8, administrative items. This is item number 8C, drainage and flood control issues in Oceano.
This is another item I'll need to recuse myself on.
Mr. President, members of the board, drainage and flood control issues in the Oceana community have been persistent problems. Mitigation of flooding is not a power held by the OCSD Board of Directors. However, directors can be effective in supporting community efforts to resolve flooding issues. Director Dahl has agreed to be a proponent for the individuals in the Oceana community for obtaining assistance from various public agencies, including the County of San Luis Obispo, in resolving the flooding problems affecting our community. The county has requested that the district provide a resolution in support of Director Dahl's efforts, and that resolution is attached, and staff recommends its approval.
Okay. Is there a board comment on the staff report?
I agree with the concept. I'm not one that changes my mind from meeting to meeting. I did say last time that I would support this, and so I will. However, I do think there's one little, number 3 is a little bit gushy. This is almost like something we put out at election time, but I will support it.
I'd like to point out, there are two typos on here. The next to last, on the first page, the next to last, whereas, the last sentence, it says, since the Arroyo Grande Creek is he, it should be the T-H-E. And a few words down, it should be Oceano's possessive. Parentheses S, or not parentheses, apostrophe S. And then on the last page, the last whereas, there shouldn't be an and there, it should just end.
Localized flooding where our streets, for example, flood. So I don't believe that that's an accurate statement, and I would suggest that we strike that. The second one is at the bottom of the page where it says the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Board of Supervisors. I believe that the Board of Supervisors, when they're acting for the Flood Control and Water Conservation District are directors.
Okay.
I may be incorrect about that, but I believe that's correct.
This was the language that was provided by the county, but I can...
Yeah, technically they're directors, but usually what you'd do is you'd say acting through the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. It's semantics mostly.
If that's the case, then that one, I wouldn't have a problem with that one, but I think we should strike the other comment, the fourth whereas. Is there other comment, or?
Did you want to strike the third one as well?
No, the only one I would propose to strike would be number four, but it is.
Yes.
Would you like to have that modified, number three?
It doesn't matter to me whether it's in there or out of there or modified. The number four, where that was, I think where that's come from is, you know, when it rains, it falls on the streets, and Oceana was downhill from everybody.
I don't know that that's really accurate. A lot of our local flooding, I think, if you look at the terrain undulates, and a lot of it does originate here. Like Casita Street is a great example. It turns into a huge lake every time it rains, and that's pretty
and
local.
Wilmar, no, and Wilmar.
Most of it, I would say, you know, most of it definitely falls on in Oceano, and there's not a problem striking it from there. Really,
right.
Is irrelevant. I was just. Saying that, you know, being downhill, that there are streets, water that falls on streets outside the area that roll in, but, you know, how much it is and that type of thing is unknown, and it's just as well to strike it, and it's completely fine to strike it.
Okay, are there helpful solutions to drainage issues in Oceano?
I second that.
Yes, with the resolution amended to strike the fourth whereas in the draft.
And correct the spelling.
And correct the spelling.
And correct the spelling.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the recommended action. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Item number 8D, General Manager Performance Evaluation.
Before you go forward, we need to get Mr.
Bookout back. Yes.
Table that. I don't feel like dealing with that tonight.
Okay, we're at administrative items number 8D, General Manager Performance Evaluation, consideration of potential form to be used by the Board of Directors to evaluate the performance of the General Manager. I've had one request that we table this item. Is there a sense that we would like to table it or continue with it?
I'll second that.
I don't think there was a motion. It was, we're just...
I would like to see it tabled, but I would once again ask that each director and the general manager, at the next time we consider it, bring their list of things or their sample. That shouldn't be too hard. You know, you should have some time to be able to think about, and you know, and really think about it, so you don't have to change your mind the next month about what you want to see on this. And everybody can, you know, if you have a great form at work, Pamela.
I put my sample together.
Yeah.
And it might be,
I wish that we would all take the time to do that.
Yeah, I can include it in the staff report. If people get them to me, that way people could see it in advance.
I haven't typed it out the way it should be, but I put in some suggestions.
Whatever way suggestion.
Okay.
So that we don't totally start with a blank piece of paper.
Okay, was that then the consensus that we'll table this? Your issue there is the digester cleaning, and the district crew had at the last meeting virtually finished cleaning out the digester. It's been a major effort. There's two digesters basically in parallel. This one was full of material at the bottom that was basically rags and cloths and things that were all matted together, and took a tremendous amount of effort by the district crew to get that done. And it was then a great savings to the district vice what the bids had come in to have that done by an outside contractor. So the district staff at the sanitation district continues to really perform well for the residents of our community and our joint communities, the city of Rio Grande and city of Grover Beach, and minimizing the cost and maximizing the service for the communities. One of the issues going forward will be trying to get enough parallelism in the system such that equipment can be taken out of service periodically for rework without incurring fines that might be imposed by water quality regulators or the Coastal Commission, perhaps, with that necessary equipment being forced out of service for maintenance. So there'll be additional work going on at the plant to install some redundancy. They're also making some progress on getting methane that's generated from the process there to be reused, and they expect that the utility bill for the district will be dramatically reduced by implementing that. There were several items, budget items, that were approved by the board in the course of the meeting that were previously budgeted items that just came to the point where it became necessary to purchase them. That's the end of my report. Bill?
I have no meetings.
Okay. Vern?
I have nothing.
Pamela?
I have no meetings.
Barbara?
The fire committee, we met. We talked about the fireworks, which we've already dealt with. We talked about weed abatement, which we've already dealt with. I think another really major item was, though, that we are going to go ahead to, as it affects the firefighters, and we still have no answer from that, or it hasn't been looked at yet. So that's ongoing. Also today, I attended a seminar on liability, but I'll talk about that at the next meeting because I want to get my thoughts together. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Okay. Comment or questions on the reports? Comment or questions from the public on the reports? Okay, hearing none. We'll move along then to general manager items for discussion.
At the last board meeting, there was an executive session that was continued to this board meeting. However, that issue was resolved, so there is no executive session tonight. We've had in the district for about the past week internet connectivity problems. We got those issues resolved yesterday. However, if people have been sending us email or expect an email from us, that's the reason for the delay. We finally got it corrected. We had a report today that PG&E is going to start the actual installation of the street light on Melody Lane on the 16th. That's next week. That's good news. The 2008 Special District's Legislative Day is May the 12th in Sacramento. I understand in the past some directors have gone to that, so So if director, whatever directors want to go, if you'd let me know, how do we determine that?
They just let us know.
Anybody
that
wants
reservations,
to
reservations, hotel okay. reservations.
So if you'll let us know, May the 12th.
I attended that last year. It was very beneficial. I got to meet with the NAPOMO general manager and director. Conversations were very beneficial, and I commented on them last year. I think it's a good thing. A few years ago, good portion of us went up there, and that was a very beneficial. And I'd highly recommend that, Patrick, that you go to that.
And the last thing I have is that the last board meeting, when I was talking about getting legal advice and training from Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore, I made a reference to training would be available to directors, management staff, and run-of-the-mill employees. And that was a very inappropriate thing.
I received a letter this last week, Saturday, actually, that was a typewritten letter, no return address, no signature, no name. And just wanted to say that it was, you know, to me it was a very appropriate way to give input and still remain anonymous. And just wanted to thank whoever sent it for sending it. And, you know, pretty much it's a good letter, pretty much on track. And that's it.
Okay, Barbara?
Once again, I would ask that the warrants, when we get the sheet, that it be big enough to read. Again, it was still, or I had trouble reading it. And surely the people here know how to enlarge on the copy machine. Every staff member should know that, or I would hope they do. But I can't read them when they're so tiny. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's, not all of them were tiny, but there was one page that was really small, and I think I finally looked on that one and could finally, with a magnifying glass, look at the date on one of the warrants that seemed to not be correct. We were paying, was a bill on there to pay for something from June of 08 to June of 09, and it was really hard to see because, you know, that perhaps could be a warrant that would be pulled. I don't know, but you know, again, it's very hard to look at that, to look at the warrants and to look at the description and then to pull out the budget book to look at the number to see that the things are being charged to the right number, because I feel that that's a job, since we're saying the warrants are right, we need to feel confident that they're being charged to the right accounts and that we're paying things in a timely manner, but not paying something where we really need to, because, you know, cash flow is important.
Yeah, I agree with that, that if we could just have those corrected to be legible, reasonably legible, that we, I have to do eye tests at the power plant, and that kind of reminded me of the near vision eye test form. Let's see, another item. I noted the letter from Morgan Terrell about the 10 items, basically, that had to be taken care of before the work can commence on sewer repair. And I note again, too, that the district audit seems to be somewhat delayed, and I kind of got the idea that we might have considered that that wasn't as very top flight importance. And from my perspective, at least, the audit is a very important part of the district's financial accounting process. So I would hope that that would move forward as soon as it possibly can. Okay, public comment on the discussions? Hearing none, brings us to item number 12, consideration of the warrants.
Mr. President, members of the board, we have one warrant to be voided.
Oh, it's not. There
we go. Sorry. We have one warrant that we have voided. That's the one to Northrop Grumman. It's the June 08 to June 09 maintenance agreement for the two meter reading probes. This is a time of year where we begin to get invoices that actually begin in July. So we will pull this and hold it to July 1st and then issue the warrant for it. The other item that was brought to our attention is that Director Hill was only paid for one personnel committee meeting, and actually he attended two. We'll issue a second check for $50.
Okay, thank you very much. So the Northrop Grumman is voided in. Comment or questions from the board on the warrants?
I move we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we pay the warrants. Is there any public discussion, comment from the public on the warrants? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 13, public comment. Again, any member of the public can address the board on any item within the purview of the board, but we cannot act on items that are not on the agenda tonight. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Hearing none. Item number 14, written communication. Patrick?
I don't have any.
No written communication. In that case, we are adjourned.